Okay, well, the phones have already started to ring, so we're going to go. But I would ask the callers to try and be brief, try and make short, concise questions for the mayor, and then give him a little time to respond. And we'll try to get as many calls as we can.
Yeah, and one last thing, no monster truck questions.
Okay.
Aloha, caller. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you very much. I have a question for the mayor. Why does it seem impossible to get another road going? Power Line Road, Ma'alo Road, connect the roads that were there already. Or the Kane Roads. The bypass road in Kapaa was given to us because the people and private landowners allowed the county to pave a stretch one way, and it helped a great deal to get around Kapaa, for example. Nobody from Anahola on north can get to the hospital in case of an emergency or a tsunami. There is no second road that makes it accessible. If there is a tsunami or any other kind of blow-up anywhere from Kapaya to Kapaa, then Wailua, then it's all over. There's no traffic. There's nobody can go anywhere. The whole thing is over.
Okay.
How about alternative roads?
Okay, we'll let the mayor respond to that. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, caller.
Okay, thank you, caller. Yes, I totally agree that we need to look at alternative means of transportation. It's working closely with our state highways. I will say that we did, during this time frame, we were able to secure the emergency bypass road. And that whole roadway was open. We had two traffic accidents that happened last year.
This is from Wailua to
Honolulu. And so we were able to get that road ready and prepared should any type of emergencies happen. And we were able to utilize the road two times. We also looked at opening up the golf course part, which is a maintenance road, so we could have traffic going back, coming on the north and going back to the south. I agree, and I remember there was talk about the Power Line Road and all the different roadways. This is all where the plantation trucks used to traverse back then. And I believe that we have opportunities there. It's just securing the right funding and looking at working with landowners. We did secure $950,000 that is sitting right now waiting for the governor's release, so can help us to upgrade the emergency bypass road as our first phase.
So just under $1 million?
Yes. Uh-huh. Right now as we speak, and we're hoping that she's able to release that funding, and that would help us to continue our efforts to upgrade that emergency bypass road for now, which is that stretch right past across Wailua Bridge going all the way to past the golf course, past Kauai Hilton.
Oh, by the,
Yeah, that whole stretch.
Yeah. So I guess another bottleneck is at Kealia, where I had to go around Spalding Monument on because there was an accident there. But when there's an accident at Kealia Beach, there's no way to get past that stretch. And so, you know, there is the road Malka up there that goes over, but it's pretty
Spalding. Yes, yes,
it's pretty rough road up there. Right. So I think that's another potential bottleneck there.
I believe we have several of those all over, but taking one step at a time. And to address the caller's concern for being able to get to emergency room, you know, my wife is a registered nurse, and we do have an emergency room now at Mahilona Hospital. So that should take care of some of the, should there be, just as information purposes, you would be able to go there for now.
Okay.
The other thing, though, for the Power Line Road, that's going to be like a $150 million project. So that would be as big as the entire annual budget. Right. So that's kind of not going to happen anytime too soon.
And, you know, long-term, short-term kinds of discussions, I'm always open for that, because I don't see us building highways and freeways going high. No way. And we can't only go so wide. So we need to look at ways to secure some of those roads that our plantation trucks used to traverse back then.
Aloha, caller. You are on the air.
How's it?
I
had a question for you guys to see if you guys knew about this meeting that's coming up in the next month or so. It has to do with private yard burning and need and stuff about smoke pollution.
Mr. Mayor, are you aware of this?
I'm sorry, I'm not aware of that.
I'm not aware either. I love to burn stuff in my yard, though.
You can follow up.
There's going to be a public announcement about it.
Okay, sorry, you're kind of breaking up there.
Yeah. Okay. If you can call back when you get to a more stable place in your signal, maybe you can give us some contact information so we can follow up on that if folks are interested.
Okay.
Thank you.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hi. I have another comment about the roads and bypass roads in particular. And there have been some that have been very helpful to us, like the Wicklow Bypass Road. I also have the same concern about there not being enough roads to have people get access out of the Poipu area in a tsunami. Kailua is at a very low elevation. I think it's only at 100 feet above sea level. And they're making another bypass, you know, where the current bypass is in right before you get to Kailua Town that takes you to the Hyatt. They call that the Eastern Bypass. Well, right there, you're going to be able to take a right, and they're going to make a new bypass that takes you and puts you out right down by the banana farm, right there by where they made the new road for the shopping center, right, for all the nice homes. Right at the bottom of Omao Road, there will be another traffic circle to feed that bypass directly into the new road that they made to the shopping center at A&B. And we already have a bypass, and none of those homes are getting built, so the argument that we're going to need that road, to me, doesn't stand. In a time when our president is really trying to stimulate our economy, I feel that A&B is pushing for that road because it takes all of the traffic directly around all the little shops in Kailua and directly to their shopping center. So in effect, well, where they may not have, you know, thought all this out, they're going to kill the business to all the little merchants in Kailua in order to get everybody to see their shopping center first. The tourist only has so much money in their pocket when they come here.
Okay, what is your question?
What I'm saying is that we don't need that road. That road, at a time when stimulating our economy is actually politically correct, okay, and taking business away from our small businesses is politically incorrect, I think they are building a road that we do not need because the people can't, in California, their target market for those 2,800 homes, right, isn't buying them at Kukui'ula, and they didn't get their financing, so we don't need that road. And it will affect our economy badly, and it won't give us any other way out of Poipu.
Okay,
we just had a tsunami, and we were just evacuated from Poipu, and I was at the Department of Transportation meeting regarding this road, and I stood up and I said, why can't these funds be made so that we, of all the tourists in Poipu now, and all of Kailua Town, can be evacuated out of this area instead of a bypass road that we don't need? That's my comment.
All right, well, thank you very much for your question, and let's let the mayor respond and see what he says.
Well, of course, my concern anytime we affecting any type of our business, especially my small rural areas, is of concern. I know there's probably some issues at hand. I mean, the Department of Transportation have their long-range plans. I know there's a Kailua transportation plan in place as well. I know the next part of that bypass would be a northerly leg. So I hear what she's saying. She's probably frustrated with that, how it's going. But I would encourage her to come out to some of those community meetings coming up shortly regarding the Kailua transportation
circulation plan
and with the Kailua Community Association and kind of voice her. But again, my concern, like she said, would be for the businesses. And we want to make sure small mom-and-pop stores continue to thrive. And we don't want to divert business away. That would not be good. And so thank you for that call.
Yeah, I know that the concerned citizens of Kailua are quite active there, so I would encourage her to hook up with them. Mm-hmm. Do we have another caller on the line?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
Let's go to the phones.
Go ahead, caller. You're on the air. What's your question for the mayor?
Hi, Mayor. Thank you for taking my call. Aloha. I'm a dog owner in Kapa'a, and from what I hear, they're considering taking the rights of dog owners to walk their dog in the path in Kapa'a. And I was just wondering how the mayor feels about that. My comment would be there's a lot of mostly responsible dog owners that love the path, and it's just so wonderful to be able to walk our dogs on it. Everyone seems to be very responsible and follows all the rules, and I just wondered how the mayor felt about, you know, potentially taking that away from dog owners.
I thank you for the call. I do recognize that there are many dog owners on our beautiful island and who want to utilize the path. I know that we did a survey that was done recently with our Parks and Recreation Department, and they're currently reviewing that information. And we're looking at how we're going to best manage. There's other issues involved, whether maintenance, there's issues with the dog feces. And so we're working closely with the unions on that. Yeah. I agree with you that, dog owners have a right. And we're working closely with our county council and with our Department of Parks and Recreation and looking at all the information that recently we received to come out with something that I'm hoping will be in the best interest of everybody. And I believe that with the information at hand and how we're going to manage the overall maintenance part is all part of the entire concern, if you will. And we're working on that, and I'm sure we'll be able to answer and get more clear information shortly.
Well, I know that dog owners have got to be responsible, and most of them are, but here's a wag of the finger for one Becky Rhodes, who I believe has received
from the Humane Society.
Yeah, she's the head of this Humane Society, and I'm not sure if she has one or two citations for having a dog off the leash, but come on, Becky.
Now, there's, I guess, part of the multi-use path you're allowed to have dogs on and part you're not.
As we speak, from the Lihi Park in Kapa'a out to Kealia Bridge, you're allowed to walk your dog. And that's per the agreement that was made with the county council and administration. And during this 18-month period, we were to do a survey and an evaluation on what would happen within this time frame. And they're currently collecting all the information. I also want to mention that we are looking into offering a dog park as well up in Wailu Homesteads. And so that's another opportunity that we're looking at, we're talking about, and we're entertaining and looking at how to offer our dog owners and dog lovers and who love their dogs to another opportunity in a dog park setting. So in addition to a segment of the path, the dog park option is also being discussed. So once we come out with the entire informational package, then we'll relate it to the community.
What is the intended length of the East Side Path? You said recently, I wrote it down, maybe I got it wrong, but that it was going to go from Lydgate to Kuna Bay?
Correct.
Where is Kuna Bay?
Kuna Bay extends all the way past Kealia down to almost towards Anahola.
Okay, almost.
Yeah.
So presently then, the path is not intended to go to Anahola? Because at one point it was.
Yeah. There's different segments. The focus now is from Lydgate to Kuna Bay.
Okay.
Now, the leg from Kuna Bay to Anahola is one section we need to look at.
It seems like the community there had very strong opinions about that.
Yeah, so that held off there. And then the other leg is from Navilivili area, coming toward Ahukini, to Lydgate.
Okay. Well, thanks for
We have a couple more calls, so let's go to the phones.
Aloha, caller. You're on the air.
Well, aloha, Mr. Mayor.
Aloha.
I'm just listening to some of these people talking about the situation with their problems on the highways.
Yes.
And I just wanted to help remind them of the benefit of our good mayor. That they got to remember, you inherit all these problems. And in a short period of time, you're trying to assist to fix these problems. And not going to happen overnight. You know, and the other thing is, the issues that they're talking about, these highways, as you said, Bernard, he talks about Department of Transportation has a big part of it. You know, it sets the different jurisdiction from county and state. So I think the people that's concerned, which has great ideas about traffic and land on highways, they should start writing to their representative and their senators, you know, because it makes your job easier and it might help make our job easier too, you know.
Thank you so much.
And anyway, Bernard, the other thing I'd like to comment on real quick is the bike path you guys are talking about.
Yes.
Just a friendly reminder. Kuna Beach is the old Donkey Beach.
Yes.
And once you get to the end where that bridge begins to Anahola, it starts on Kamalo Malo'o Valley.
Kamalo Malo'o. Okay.
Yeah, and it starts on the Homestead's path that goes down to Anahola.
Right.
And when the discussion takes place of trying to assist a bike path in Anahola, I really would appreciate if you could come. I believe your administration will come, but it'd be great to have Mayor Bernard Cavalier be present, since he's a Hawaiian also, on the sensitive issues that are going to take place in the back roads that many of the Hawaiian people have been using for all these years.
Definitely.
You know, and such as the discussion about that is that we would like to utilize the road, pave it, put the bike path mark aside of the road, and every time one of the people that wants to go with the bike down to the beach, you put up one of those speed bumps so they get rights to, you know. But again, it's a future thing. There's a lot of work ahead. But we don't want to lose access to all camping grounds and all of that stuff. So anyway, you know, I just wanted to commend you, Bernard, in such a great endeavors you did in such a period of time. And I know the election's coming up, so keep up the good work, and I hope to see you in the backyard.
All right. Mahalo, mahalo, plenty.
Okay. Aloha. Aloha.
I think that was first-time caller, Kane Pa.
Kane Pa.
Yeah, okay, Kane Pa. Do we have another caller? All right, go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Aloha. Mr. Mayor, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I am wondering if you've been following the Nawe situation?
Go ahead. Yes.
You're aware of what's going on. So I was just calling to find out if there's any possibility that you have some kind of a Trump card, a Magic Mayor Trump card, because I've spent a lot of time yesterday and today calling the representatives, and I spoke with Pua Ayu today, and it just seems to be a lot of back and forth about, you know, different levels of government telling different people they can do and cannot do different things. And I just think that the original statement from the burial council to preserve in place needs to be respected. And I'm aware that this is the first time since they created the burial councils back in the 80s that the council has said preserve in place, and then a house has been built on top of it. So I was just wondering if you could speak on that issue, and I'll just listen off the phone. Thank you.
Well, let me say this. Had I been involved from the beginning of this particular project, I totally disagree with building anything on any burials, and it's totally wrong. However, in this particular point in time, it is totally, I mean, I can speak up, but it's totally out of my hands. It's in the courts. It's in different responsibilities is on the state side. And again, if I had any say from the beginning, had I been involved in it from the start, this is something that I would totally oppose. And I've been watching it along the way.
Like,
I know,
like,
there's
a lot
different
of people, yeah,
issues coming up and different families. And so, but from my standpoint, there's some issues that came up, and it's in the court's hands right now, and that's where it is.
So you don't have any Trump card that you're gonna you can pull out now,
you know,
and stop the process.
I do not have any Trump card right now. But had I had the chance at the beginning, like some of the other projects that we have, then
it seems like mistakes were made early in the process that could have affected the outcome dramatically.
Right.
It also seems like looking at the example of what happened there and how it transpired, maybe there are things that could be done now so that in the future something like that cannot happen again. And maybe that would involve a permitting, perhaps.
Permitting. You know, and this whole issue about private landowners, too, having their rights. Everybody has their rights, right?
Yeah, but rights, they're not in an absolute vacuum.
Right.
They're in a social context.
My point being, in general, as a private landowner. However, if there's issues such as what we're talking about, now we need to look at that and really see what are some of the areas we need to be very careful with and how we manage it, and we talk about it up front. I believe every project, there's an emotional side, and then there's a side that you got to just do what you got to do. There's the emotional side that we need to really focus on so it doesn't happen like this.
Is there anything that could be done? Is there any direction that you could give to planning or Ian Costa and say, hey, how do we – is there some jurisdictional or some bureaucratic things that we can change? Are there some safeguards we can put in place so that something like this never has to happen again, so that people don't have to go through all this anguish and frustration and have a house built on these entombed Evie?
Everything that was done to date from the planning department and planning commission has gone over to the Fifth Circuit Court, and it's in the court's hands right now on what is happening.
Okay. Okay. Well, we have another call.
Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to hear your thoughts on one thing. First, I'll say that as I observe governments at local levels, state levels, national levels, international levels, they all seem to be large majority working in the red. Locally, of course, most of our revenue, I think, comes from a lot of these services, county services, come from property taxes. Do you see just your thoughts on how government can be an affordable commodity for the community and sustaining through the future? And also, do you see anything on maybe property tax reform to make it more equitable? I'll listen for your comments. Thank you.
Okay. Now, not having gone through the entire budget process as we speak, as I stated earlier, 83-84% or so of our budget is property tax. And then, of course, the 11% or so is TAT. What I believe we need to be very mindful of and fiscally responsible is how we manage ourselves and the projects that we have. And some of the initiatives that I believe is going to sustain us in the future, such as, you know, looking at converting our automated garbage pickup will be reduced manpower costs, as well as workers' comp, injury claims. We looked at that. Retrofitting our county facilities. Finding more efficient and cost-effective ways to do training, increasing capacity of all the different areas, revamping our CIP program, looking at ways that can help support sustaining our budget as we move forward in the upcoming years. We're also looking at putting a lot of our additional funding into diversion efforts, and I think would help us economy-wise, bring back some of the funding that is so needed back into our coffers. I feel confident that by looking at every single way possible to address and secure the budget issues that are in front of us is important. As far as real property tax, I try to keep what we have in place and look at other ways within our county to meet the demands of our budget as we speak today. I also want to say that we're looking at future budgets as well, biannual budget, and seeing how we can be very mindful of the issues that are at the forefront as we manage ourselves with our fiscal responsibilities.
Now, how about other revenue sources or revenue enhancement projects, whatever?
I like that term.
I've heard discussed that maybe they could, the state's already looking at bumping up the GE tax to 5%. The county, Governor Lingle recommended the counties maybe put a 1% sales tax on top of that, mm-hmm. For their own benefit. That's when she was trying to steal the TAT. She says, "Well, you can make it up with the sales tax."
Yeah. Well, why don't you raise taxes, Linda? That's what I say.
Well, I think she's doing both there. She's taking other people's money and raising taxes. So, have you looked at other sources of revenue? What do other counties do? Does everybody get 85% of their taxes from property?
Kauai is different from all the other counties, really, in how the funding that we have. And so, like I said, 85% already is real property. And people are suffering right now.
Well, because
valuations
values,
are down.
Yeah, are down.
You can't squeeze that much
what
more.
Can more you do? So that's why all the other projects and areas that we're working on is trying to meet that. I felt that we couldn't go anymore, you know. And so holding on to that TAT is very critical.
Yeah.
And so that's why we needed to look deep into all these the vehicle registration, like I said earlier, and other examples like that. And I'll be detailing all of that on Friday, but just having people understand that the valuations are down, and I cannot go there right now. Right. So looking at the furlough program and other options on the table, the dollar-funded position, short, you know, all that stuff that we talked about. The list is not very long, you know, as options, but we're trying our best to work with what we have.
Well, it's not like the county of Kauai can buy lottery tickets or anything.
No.
So, I mean, what kind of creative alternative revenue opportunities are there out there? I mean, what did some of the mayors in these other little towns across the country, how do they make their budgets?
Well, this is similar. All this stuff that we're doing now, you know, looking internally in our operations we have, like I know Mayor Kinoy from Hilo is doing the same thing with 2-day furlough and looking at some closing down on some services. I mean, we are looking at shutting down and closing down our refuse stations once a week. You know, that's going to happen. We're going from 8-10-hour workdays to 8-hour workdays. Our landfill will close one day a week. You know, and that's another example of what we're doing, and I'm going to be saying this coming Friday. It's one example of services that we're going to have to look at. Now, it's going to inconvenience the people, but I'm hoping our people can understand that to the extent that we're trying to look at ways to meet our needs. And I've said at the forefront, I'm not going to cut our senior programs and our youth programs, because the youth programs is families and working parents. And so I need to juggle that along with our kupuna, who need to have their ukulele and dance classes in order to keep them healthy and strong, at the same time meet the needs of the entire family. So we're trying to look at all these ways, and I just stated up front that, yes, the landfills and refuse stations will close once a week. And we're going down from 10 hours to 8-hour workdays. That's what we're doing.
Do we have some more callers on the...
Yes, we got two calls.
All right, go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Yes, hello. Aloha, Mayor.
Aloha.
Okay. I'm going to ask my two questions. It's related to the Wailua bike path. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and then I'll hang up and I'll listen, okay? The first one is... Where exactly will the path take place, on the beach or near the beach? And secondly, when do you intend to start construction of the bike path in Wailua?
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, caller.
Okay. So right now, after going through lengthy discussions and conversations with all the key players at the table and being very culturally sensitive to my Hawaiian community, there was a concern of placing the path on the beach. And so right now where it stands is we're able to move the path off the beach on the Makai side of the highway in the right-of-way. So we'll be on the shoulder of the highway on the Makai side.
So it's by that rock wall?
Near the rock wall.
Inside, I mean, mauka of the rock wall.
Based on the studies and the information that are... our engineers and our design people have come up with, it will be near the rock wall, and there will be a barrier that will separate the traffic from the path. We have a 10-foot path, which we reduced down to an 8-foot path. So we're looking at all the ways to make it fit within the requirements of a path that would be safe for bicyclists and pedestrians. The requirement... we went the full width, of course, of 10 feet. We're now down to 8 feet within that right-of-way on the shoulder of the roadway. And going mauka, for me, was unacceptable, because to me, going behind Coco Palms meant more issues with our EV. And I say that based on the information that I've gotten and all the dialogue pieces that we went through. So, again, to answer his question... it will be off the beach in the right-of-way on the
Makai side
of the highway.
Yeah, but also of the Makai side of the existing stone wall as it's presently
right, the aligned. Stone wall, yes. Yeah. So that area will be where the path will traverse.
So I actually was on the phone last week with Ray McCormick, who's the head of the Hawaii DOT here for Kauai. And he was explaining to me that part of the problem of trying to get everything through this corridor is there's only 77 feet in the right-of-way. And if you're going to have, you know, four lanes plus a turn lane, and they're going to be the width they have to be for safety for, you know, cars to drive and stuff, that's 55 feet right there. And then if you're going to have a median and a shoulder, pretty fast, you're eating up most of the space in the 77 feet. The thing that was really popped out to me, though, because I asked him to send me some PDFs of the design, and he did. And what really jumped out at me was that there's a six foot proposed planter, which is intended to be inside the state right of way. So it would be state monies would have to plant it and tend it. And this was something that the people from Cocoa Palms a long time ago requested. So what's happening, though, is this six-foot-wide planter is pushing the highway 6 feet closer to the sea, and it's pushing the path 6 feet closer to the sea. And so what happens is right now the path is 4 or 5 feet onto the sand because the right-of-way of the highway extends past where they have it paved to. And so what they're planning to do is have this planter to satisfy a private party at the expense of the public benefit. And that doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. And so what I did, I got it right here as a graph, which I'll be happy to send this to your office. Okay. If you simply eliminate the planter, you can have full-size shoulders on there because right now Ray's got a narrower shoulder. So increase safety, and it will allow the path to be fully inside the right-of-way. And the existing stone wall will remain because what they're planning to do otherwise is to destroy the existing stone wall and build a new stone wall.
Yep. Yes.
So this, if you just eliminate this planter, it will allow the existing stone wall to remain in place, and it will allow the path to go malka of the stone wall.
Okay.
And I think that if that was able to happen, everybody in the island would kind of cheer, because then there would be no new construction on the sand of the beach of Wailua.
Okay. I'm familiar with the planter, and it was my understanding that we were able to work that out, but I'll make sure. And that's how we got to that width of the path. So I'll follow up on my side.
Fantastic. Okay. Do we have more?
Okay. Yes, we do have more calls, but I need to take a quick break here and let you know what's coming up here.
March is Red Cross Month. Did you know that the Red Cross is not a government agency? Yet through your donations, they are always there. Here in Hawaii, the Red Cross annually trains about 33,000 residents in life-saving skills, provides crisis notification to over 2,000 military families, and responds to Hawaii disaster every 3 to 4 days. For more information, visit hawaiiredcross.org.
Hey, aloha. This is Marin, inviting you to tune in to KKCR on Thursday evenings from 6 to 8 p.m. for Acoustic Luau, featuring the best of contemporary singer-songwriters, acoustic blues, rock, gospel, and world beat. It's all about great music, a delectable selection of tasty sound treats. That's Acoustic Luau, Thursdays 6 to 8 p.m., right here on KKCR.
Okay, this Acoustic Luau is just coming up in 30 minutes at 6 o'clock. This is Out of the Box. We're talking with Mayor Carvalho in the studio here and taking questions. One thing that the previous caller asked that you haven't responded to yet is when is the construction supposed to begin on this?
Yeah, the when part is still uncertain yet. I mean, we're working on that. Our team members are at the table as we speak. The big part was to clear that the right-of-way that is at the table right now is all ready to go. And then we'll follow up on some of the questions that were brought up today as well. And then we can come back with a better timeline.
Okay. Well, we have some more calls.
Aloha, caller. You're on the air with the mayor. What's your question?
Right, good afternoon. Well, good afternoon, Mr. Mayor. And many mahalos for doing stuff like this. I really appreciate you, your transparency. I have to confess, I didn't vote for you, but I've really learned to respect and appreciate you and the way that you do things, and I'm definitely on your side. So
thank you so much.
So thank you for this time. My county, I had a lot of questions, but I'm going to just limit it here. Mainly it's regarding county worker responsibility, and I want to limit that down to the use of herbicides and and poisons. And my main concern is that I just wonder if a lot of these people that are using the herbicides for the county and the state too, but that's not your clue, Yano, are actually trained in it, because I see them misusing it by spraying it on windy days, spraying it at times when they shouldn't, and using way more. They actually hose down places when you just need a few drops per plant. So I'm just wondering that, and if we ever have, because it's a totally non-sustainable thing, and I don't agree with it at all, but if we're going to do it, we need the proper training and make sure that it's safe and then. And it's never going to be sustainable, but to minimize the impact. And I just wonder if there's any thoughts or issues or concerns about that that you may be able to address.
Definitely. I, too, am concerned with any type of spraying. And I know that our we have policies and procedures in place for training of our staff, and I can definitely follow up on that, on that particular issue.
Okay. All right. That was short and sweet. We have another caller.
Yes, we do.
Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Hello, Mayor. Are you there?
Yes, aloha.
Aloha. Hey, I'm interested in hearing your comments and opinions in regards to the whole Larson's Beach issue that is ongoing at this stage. I was down there today and appalled to see that trees were cut down there. There was supposed to be no action done until the public access is taken care of. And I'm wondering what your comments and your feelings on this whole issue are, and I'll hang up and listen to what you got to say.
Thank you, caller. That's a great question.
Okay.
Thank you.
You know, as far as Larson's Beach, you know, the whole issue with private land owner, yeah, that's on the table. But the big thing for me is access. And I believe, like, we as people of Kauai are entitled to access to our natural resources and our beaches and the things that make Kauai Kauai. And that's the bottom line. So as far as getting access to the beach and where it's at, we're currently working closely now at the table with Waioli Corporation. We're in conversation right now. There's some legal issues that we're talking about at the table. But I want you to understand how important it is for me to relay the message that access is very important. And so we need to come to some kind of terms on this and allow access, whether it be vertical, horizontal, right or left, but there is access to that particular area. It's a beautiful beach. I know, like, as I stated earlier, there's some issues on the table, some legal issues, but we're filtering to that as we speak, and I'm hoping to come to some kind of resolution very shortly, because a lot of concerns have come from this particular issue.
Now, there was a beach visit, site visit by the council, or was it?
I was there. It was a mixture of everybody, from the landowner to myself, government officials, council members. And I wanted to tell me what is happening here.
Yeah.
And so I actually walked down the county access per...
How'd you find that?
Well, the proposed county access.
Well, that's a little tricky, though, yeah?
Yeah, it's tricky.
No, I've been down that, It's actually not on county property, because there was a rock fall at one point that pushed the trail back onto the landowner's
land. There's all kinds of issues. I just went and visited the location that was told to me that this is the potential site, and I walked it. Yeah. And, you know, really, it's not accessible as it should be. But anyway, I did walk it. I wanted to see how to get. I actually went down to the beach, to that area. And then I came up. There's a vertical access as well that you can come up on. So I came up on that way. And, of course, the horizontal, using my terms here. And so from that discussion and finally experiencing that whole piece, I gathered everybody to the table. And as I said, we're working on it right now as we speak. I know the state is also involved in this, very, very, you know, on it as well. So there's some other factors involved. But the discussions with Waioli Corporation is continuing. And, again, there's some legal issues we need to tackle.
It seems like there's two other aspects besides just access and to private property. One is the Ala Nui. So there's a Hawaiian cultural issue there. And that was there's a location along there where the traditional Hawaiian coast path is, where people would walk along there. And there's a debate about whether that is or isn't documented on their legal definition of their property. So that's one thing. And then another one is responsible environmental stewardship. And to me, that might be the most important thing of all in balancing these competing right. interests, because it doesn't make any sense to me. You've got a thriving reef out there. I'm concerned about cows trampling down on a hillside that is prone to erosion and defecating and doing what cows do and stuff. And that's just not yeah. Can't possibly be good for the reef.
Destroying the vegetation and allowing more
yeah,
erosion,
more erosion, more runoff and E. coli and blah blah blah. It's, it gets like an ugly picture pretty fast. So so you got four big issues there. You got the access. You got Hawaiian cultural stuff. You got responsible stewardship, and you've got private property. So. I think Kauai is looking for leadership, mm-hmm. and I think they're looking to you on this to see what can happen.
And I, like I said, all of that's what I meant with the legal part. I mean, there's all these cultural issues, which is very sensitive for me. There's ranching issues coming from a ranching lifestyle with my dad. We raised cows too when we were little. I remember those days going in the anyway. So I understand that side of it as well. And then the access issue, like you said. So having gone there myself and walked it. And I understand the layout now. So we're in conversation now to look at all of the areas. There's a, like I said, there's a private landowner issue. And what is the rights of a private landowner? Then there's an environmental part that's very critical. Of course, the cultural part, of course, is at the forefront too. And then access. So that's what I meant. We're filtering through all of these discussions right now. And We'll come up with something very shortly, because this is on the table. People are out there.
Yeah, and it's not just this part of the. This isn't the only part of the island where these things all come together.
People are, yes,
it's again and again and again. Yeah. So, to the extent that you can provide clear direction and strong leadership in this issue, I think it will diffuse future conflicts.
Okay. Right. We have three more calls backed up. So let's.
Let's go into speed call mode. Aloha caller. You're on the air.
Hi, aloha, Mr. Mayor.
Aloha.
I'm calling about the farm worker housing.
Oh.
And we're looking for keeping the island sustainable food-wise. And so that would be certainly essential to assisting in making these little farms affordable. And so I understand they're talking about a $35,000 income from your farming in order to get farm worker housing. Well, how do you get there without help? And so I'd like you to respond to that and what your thoughts are on the farm worker housing situation. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, first of all, agriculture is at the top of our list as far as one of our major initiatives. If you haven't heard already, there's many projects and initiatives that we started and continue to look at, and working closely with our community, our farm bureau, our agricultural teams that are out there. As far as farm worker housing, I mean, it's on the table right now. We did that just at the discussion over at council. I know we're working on trying to come to some kind of, I'll say this, it's important for us to address it. We have to look at it soon. The types of units and how we do it is at the forefront right now. Sorting through all of that issues at the table is currently what is happening. But if you're asking for me, I support farm worker housing. It's how to get there and make it right and make it fit for everyone, and to assure that it doesn't that it's truly for farming. And that's the big issue right there. And I believe once we get to something that can give us a good, clear direction, then leaders like myself can make the decisions needed to move. But I do support farm worker housing, and it's just the issues at the table right now that we need to all filter through to come up with something that is beneficial for the farming community.
Okay, let's move on to the next call. Aloha, you're on the air.
Yes, I'd like to get the mayor's opinion on if he's pro or against the decriminalization of marijuana.
Okay. The decriminalization of marijuana.
Do you think marijuana possession or what would the word be, partaking of, should remain a criminal act? Or do you think that marijuana should be deprioritized and decriminalized as a behavior? For example, treating it like alcohol, you know, only 21 and older or whatever. I'm guessing where he's going with this, but...
I'm against. It's illegal, and I'm against the use of marijuana. Now, there's an issue with medical marijuana that is on the table and issues at hand. I remember that. So I believe that some people may need it for medical reasons, and done the right way to your medical doctor and monitored the right way, yes. But any other way, I am not in favor of. There is, I believe, a bill on the table for some kind of compassion centers or what have you. But
a dispensary.
Dispensary.
Yeah, that's for medical marijuana.
I do not support that bill, and so that's my stance, and that's where I'm at.
Now, on the Big Island, the voters chose to
give direction to their police.
Tell the police department to make it their lowest enforcement priority. And there's talk of people circulating such a petition here, a referendum here. Would that make much difference to your viewpoint on it if something like that were passed here? If the voters of Kauai says, we don't think the police department should be spending a lot of time and money on busting people smoking pot when there's a lot more important things out there. So
I think that's any type of illegal drug is not good. It's just a gateway to opening for other problems. So we need to address it at the forefront. That's my stance on that.
All right. Okay. Well, that's fair enough. Okay. Let's go to the next caller. Aloha, caller. You're on the air. We're in speed dial mode.
Speed dial mode.
Go for it. Aloha, caller.
Hello?
Are you there? Okay, we're going to the next caller. Aloha, caller. You are on the air with a question for the mayor.
Oh, yes. Thank you. I understand from the Department of Transportation that the highway in front of Cocoa Palms is built on the crest of the dune of the beach. And so that means that the sides of the highway there is still dunes. It doesn't look like a beach because there is grass or vegetation growing on there, but there are actually many parts of that. If you walk along the side there, you can see that is sandy beach. And so the right-of-way, the county right-of-way, is
it's actually state,
the beach.
But yeah.
Yeah, where the bike path is going to be is county right-of-way, right?
No, it's technically part of the state DOT right-of-way.
Okay, state DOT right-of-way. Okay, yeah. That's fine. But what's true about that is that it's still on the beach. And so the bike path, it still would be on the beach. But as you brought up, Jonathan, that there's a possibility of it not being on the beach at all if you were to narrow the lanes of the highway. If you were to make the lanes of the highway just 10 feet wide each, which is, you know, fine according to state highway recommendations, that is a possibility. And so by doing that, you'd have 40 feet, and then would leave you a full 8 feet plus room for the barrier that you could put the bike path on what is now the asphalt of the highway, completely avoiding going on one grain of sand of the beach. And so this would be a win-win. You'd be able to keep the beach intact, and you'd be able to keep all the wonderful vegetation and trees there, and you would be on the Mackay side of the highway, not off of the highway, but on the highway. Just take that last lane and turn that into concrete for the concrete path, and you have a win-win. The beach is left intact and safe, untouched.
Okay. Well, let's give the mayor a chance to respond to that.
Thank you, caller. Go ahead, Mr. Mayor.
Again, you know, we're following all the rules and regulations that is set before us right now. It is my understanding for all the information that I've gathered. We're off the beach. We're in the right-of-way. There are some issues with the width of that particular right-of-way, the state right-of-way. And like Jonathan mentioned earlier, there's a planter issue of the widening. But the bottom line is that right-of-way is we've gone through all of the reviews, all of the different engineering criteria, and I really feel that we came to some kind of, this is a compromise overall. It's a win-win for all, and I'm hoping that we can continue to move on this. I do not have a timeline yet as when the project will begin, but we're going to be working on some of the questions that were posed today as we move forward.
It seems like that's important to a lot of people on the island, that corridor. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of love and affection for the Wailua Beach area. And if there's a way where no new construction can take place on existing sandy beach, I think that a lot of people would be really happy.
Thank you.
Go ahead, caller.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Yeah, my question is concerning the GMOs, as no one has asked about that yet. And I did call last year, Mr. Mayor, when you were on the radio, and you mentioned you just, you know, you didn't feel as educated as you would want to be. And I had sent you some movies and videos, and I just wondered if you had a chance to look at those. And if you did, if you had some insight into a possibility of getting the GMO testing off of this island. And I'll just go ahead and listen. Thank you.
Okay. Aloha.
Yeah, I did. I did review some of the information, and you know, GMOs on Kauai. I mean, there's our corn companies on the west side, and they have a place here on Kauai, I believe. But it is an issue. If I were to talk about our GMO taro, that was also talked about in the past. You know, I believe that there should be no testing on our Hawaiian taro. The varieties of Hawaiian taro should be left alone. Yes. Now, in other areas, I'm still gathering information and trying to understand, because there are some studies and research done on GMOs, and depending on what it is, that it is we're able to coexist as long as it meets the rules and the regulations of our environmental requirements. And I'm really strong on that. So as far as the corn companies that are right here on Kauai, they've been a good neighbor. They're providing jobs for people. I know there's an environmental side of that. There's a concern for that. But as long as it is within the environmental rules and regulations, again, I want to point out that GMO taro testing on any Hawaiian varieties is, I totally oppose that.
I actually had another email from another listener who wanted to know if, similar to what the Big Island has done in terms of banning GMO taro on Big Island, if you would be favorable towards or be interested in taking action towards banning GMO taro on this island. And the reason, the rationale that she cited was that that just having even the rumor that there's GMO taro on the island is really dangerous and bad for sales. She made the example of papaya farms. We had export to Japan, and when GMO papaya came in here, the Japanese market shut to Kauai papaya, and 50% of the market fell instantly. So this is what she related to me. So because of those reasons, she's concerned that a similar thing might be happening with taro, and she's asking you to look into that statement, to similar to Big Island.
I will definitely look into that. I know with the papaya, there was some kind of species that they found there that caused the papaya to be affected. There's no GMO papaya here on Kauai, right?
Oh, yes, there is.
I think there's
yes,
Sunrise. There is. Well, papaya is GMO.
Rainbow.
It's rainbow.
It may not be grown commercially. I don't know if it is, but it is here.
Anyway, it's bottom line is, yes, I would look at the overall issue on GMO, period. But my statement about the GMO taro, the Hawaiian variety, I want to make clear that I'm totally opposed.
All right, well, thank you for that.
Can I just point out my perception here is that it's a little inconsistent to be against the GMO taro because of your own cultural sensitivity to that plant and to ignore other people's sensitivity to corn and other plants. You know, there are heirloom varieties of corn. There has been, you know, has fed the planet for thousands of years, and now they're messing with the genes, and there are other cultural sensitivities, and you're kind of denying those to some extent.
Well, I'm concerned about all. And, yeah, there's a cultural side to that as well that has been discussed numerous times. Like, there's cultural issues that we are addressing, whether it be sand or access or all of the above. So there's a balance here. And I didn't say I'm willing to look at it, but I did make a stance on the Hawaiian variety because of the cultural significance that it has for the people of Hawaii.
Right. Okay.
All right, we've got another call.
We have time for another call or two. That's about it then.
Yeah, you guys are doing great out there. Keep them coming. We got room for maybe one more.
One or two more.
Aloha caller, you're on the air.
Hi. Mayor, are you aware that there's an EIS going on for another large ferry?
No. Another large ferry?
Yeah, I think this is being done in support of PRMF, but it's going to be Yeah. Anyway, I just wanted to bring that up, that there is an EIS going on.
I do not know of any EIS.
Thank you.
Sorry.
I think it might be part of a scheme to bring back the super ferry. Linda Lingle was doing something to that effect.
Yeah, and they were trying to keep it general so that they didn't look like they were favoring one company, which is the.
And then I guess it was also going to be subsidized by state revenue, which seemed at a time when the state budgets are shrinking to be tossing out more money like that is pretty
outlandish. I haven't
outlandish.
Heard anything about that.
Keep your ears open on that.
Okay, this is our last call then.
Aloha, you are our last caller.
Oh, great. Mr. Mayor,
it's
Larry. I'll leave my last name off. You'll tell by my...
Larry.
Yes.
Aloha, Larry.
I had a question for you, and it's really a personal one, and it's probably a great way to kind of end this, a really good conversation, is that what's been your biggest surprise, upon taking office? I'm sure you had certain expectations, but what's been the greatest surprise for you, on a personal basis, being mayor?
Well, like I said earlier, the biggest surprise was just the multitude of people and organizations that have so many different concerns and all coming at once to see what the mayor can do and how the mayor can handle this and how the mayor can provide support. And that, I knew that would happen, but just sitting there and having that come all at once, but at the same time, being able to address it and understand the concerns in the different areas and being able to sort through all of that and come back to the people with some answers was very important to me, and as well as being able to provide the support needed for all.
Well, I think that you're certainly getting a taste of more of that right here. I don't know how many topics we've just gone through in the last 2 hours. It's kind of amazing. Clearly there's an incredible pent-up demand of people who want to speak with you about different issues that they think are important, and it's really wonderful that you make yourself accessible and come to the station like you're doing right now. I think it's a great opportunity for everyone on the island and also for you to speak to everyone. So I really, really want to thank you for coming in and doing that.
Yeah. Thank you also, and thank you, Beth, for coming in.
Beth, and aloha kauai ni hao, and thank you, David, Don.
Yeah. So hopefully we can get you in here in another year. Have another update.
Another year.
Maybe another 364 days.
And Jonathan J. Mahalo to you, too.
Thank you so much. Thank you very, very much.